Hello, and welcome back to the Special Ed Strategist, where we turn complex education systems into manageable, bite-sized strategies for parents and educators. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm going to guide you through the maze of special education. As a certified educational therapist, IEP coach, and host of this podcast, I have spent over 20 years helping families navigate learning gaps and advocacy. Today, I'm diving into a topic that can transform a kiddo's educational journey without waiting for your annual review. IEP amendments and adjustments, that's what we're talking about today. Whether you're a parent advocating fiercely for your kiddo or an educator trying to ensure every student thrives, today's episode is packed with insights, strategies, and real-world examples that will leave you inspired and equipped to act. So here we go. We're going on an empowering ride. But before we dive in, let's start with the basics. What is an IEP amendment and why do we even care? Let's think of it as the Swiss Army knife of your kiddo's individualized education plan or program. Amendments allow you to pivot, adjust, and fine-tune the plan when something just isn't working. So here's the magic. You don't have to wait until the next IEP meeting to fix a broken tool in the box. If your kiddo's accommodations aren't helping, if a new skill emerges, or if life even just throws you a curveball like it often does or can, like, for example, transition to a new school, an amendment can ensure the IEP keeps up with your kiddo's evolving needs. Now, you might be wondering, how do I know when it's time to amend an IEP? Well, let me give you some secret sauce. First, listen to your kiddo. Are they suddenly dreading school or saying, I can't do this? And not just a blip on the radar, but think about it as a trajectory. You're noticing this more and more. You're starting to see a pattern. Second, check their progress. Are they stuck in a plateau or are they racing ahead of their goals? Either one is going to need an adjustment or an amendment. And third, always trust your instincts. Your parrot gut is going to guide you. You know when you feel like something's off. In any of those cases, I want you to think about what can we do? Start collecting data. What does homework time look like? What does test taking look like? What do transitions look like? Start thinking about school, home, and community and collecting your data. So when you go forth to ask for an amendment, you have data as a parent coming to the table. Let's do a quick story, right? So I'm going to call her Sarah. She noticed her son was overwhelmed by homework every single night. And so she realized that despite accommodations, her son was missing the executive function strategies needed to stay organized with one targeted amendment. We were able to add scaffolding planning, brief check-ins with the teacher, and then in weeks, we just started to realize that Sarah's son started to thrive with just a slight little tweak in the IEP with accommodations through that amendment. Now, what does the law say? So IDEA, the law that governs IEPs, gives parents incredible power. It is your right to request an amendment when you see your kiddo struggling or even soaring. The key is to document everything. And you're going to start with what I like to call the CARE model. Concerns, what is not working? Actions, what have you tried so far? Results, what did or did not work? I think what does work is just as important as what is not working. And evidence, bring data to back it up. So again, concerns, actions, results, evidence. It isn't about overwhelming the team with paperwork. It's about showing them the story of your kiddo clearly and compassionately. So let's talk about teamwork. I know IEP meetings can sometimes feel like a courtroom, but amendments are that opportunity to build bridges, not burn them. So the best collaborations happen when parents and educators focus on that one shared goal, which is obviously helping the kiddo succeed. And you can also ask questions like, what do you think would help my child feel more confident? And you can also ask your kiddo that, what would help you feel more confident? How can we make this adjustment work with the resources we have? That's a good team question to help kind of come to the table, to have that third voice at the table, meaning you as the parent, the team, and then coming together in the middle to see what you guys can collaborate on. And really, this can help kind of bridge that gap and really support holistically your student. So, of course, not every request that we make to our schools is going to be met with open arms, right? So we know that's not going to happen. But we might hear things like, we don't have the staff for that, or let's wait and see, stay calm and remember. None of those are really going to work. We want to push for clarity, ask what specific challenges are preventing this adjustment from occurring, so that you're now putting the understanding on the school. What are those challenges and what can we do to overcome them? Use the law as your ally. You can always quote IDEA. And then your tip to add in there would be to request that it is written in the prior written notice. There should always be a prior written notice, which is a confusing term. I do have a podcast on this, but it comes out after your meeting, anytime that there's a change or denial. That way, that request is put in writing. So if they say, we don't have the staff for that, then you have writing to move forward if you need to. Try to reframe the conversation so it's not about what can't be done, it's about what must be done for your kiddo's success. So, what can you do today to ensure that your kiddo's IEP stays dynamic? I want you to review the IEP regularly and don't wait for things to fall apart. Be aware of what the goals look like. Be aware of what the testing accommodations are, accommodations in general. So if your kid comes home and there's a concern, you can say, oh, wait, we have this in the IEP, and that way you have a written form to use. Build relationships with that IEP team. It's easier to advocate when trust is already there. Always document, document like that detective. Keep emails, notes, progress reports, prior written notice, all whether it's in a physical file folder or a digital one. That way you have everything at your fingertips. Here's my favorite tip. If you feel stuck, don't hesitate to seek support. That's why here I can also help you learning essentials, whether it's a coaching call or our course like Cracking the Code to Special Education. Always here to help, always reach out. Also, there's online networking groups that you can join, parent groups that can help you as well. So as we wrap this up, remember this, an IEP is not a set it and forget it plan. It's a living, breathing document designed to evolve with your kiddo's needs. Don't be afraid to step up and ask questions. Push for the change that will unlock their potential. So thanks again for joining me today. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with fellow parents or educators. And don't forget to subscribe to the Special Ed Strategist for more insights and stories that empower and inspire. Until next time, I'm your host, Wendy Taylor, reminding you that small changes lead to big wins. Keep advocating, keep believing, and together we'll help every kiddo shine. Bye for now.